Welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast. I am Matt Erickson, and I'm your host. This is a podcast where we explore how simplicity beats complexity, especially in money matters. We explore investing, personal finance, and how to live a simple and awesome life. Welcome to episode 12, titled, Should I Fire My Financial Advisor? I've been looking forward to this episode for quite some time and excited to be able to share some thoughts and ideas and insights I've had around the financial advisor industry. When I was younger, I had mentioned earlier on a podcast that I used to work at a cheese plant. That's where I started to do my first bit of investing when I was in my low 20s. And at that place, I enrolled in their 401k, invested blindly in the mutual funds that were offered, and accepted the management that was provided through a local company. Once I was able to learn more about these funds several years later, I realized just how bad they were. They had high expenses. They had fees to pay in when you joined the fund and also fees when you left the fund. They were just set up to benefit the salesperson or the quote-unquote financial advisor rather than the client, who is myself. And since then, I've read a lot about financial advisors, what they are, what different types of financials or advisors are out there, and really what they bring to the table. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what kind of financial advisors are available, and then also, if it would be wise for you to have one or not. So I want to talk about three different kinds of financial advisors. The number one kind of financial advisor is called the assets under management financial advisor. This is a person who you would take your money to, and they typically will only take you as a client if you have about $500,000 or more in assets. And they will charge you a percentage of your money under their management. So if I went in and had $1 million and they managed my money for me, they would charge me a percentage of that every year to manage it and look over it. Often that management fee will be at least 1% and often up to 2 or 3%. So it could cost anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000 a year for them to manage my $1 million. That's the asset under management model. Number two, kind of finance, and the assets under management portfolio managers or financial advisors are typically a fiduciary, which means that they have to put the client's best interest first. That's a fiduciary. The other kinds of financial advisors I'll be talking about are they go under what's called a suitability standard, which simply means they have to give you investments that are suitable, which is a very loose definition to say the least. So the next kind of financial advisor I want to talk about is called a duly registered financial advisor. This is someone who can claim they're a fiduciary on the one hand and charge assets under management, but they also can turn around and take off the fiduciary hat and sell you an insurance product like an annuity. So they are people who sell both products. And the third kind of financial advisor would be called a commissioned stockbroker or a salesperson. They are the most common. I think probably over 90% of financial advisors are these kind of people. So what they are is they will sell you a mutual fund typically with a front-end load, which means you pay a percentage of that money. So for example, let's say you had $1,000 to invest. And this stockbroker would say, okay, I'll invest your money for you, but you are going to pay me a 5.75 front load fee to do that. So right off the bat, you would lose 5.75% of your $1,000, and that money would go into his or her pocket instead of into your investing account. Then after they put you in, take that commission out, then they would put you into what's called an actively managed mutual fund, which typically has a high expense ratio. And then they would make money off of that for the rest of the time you have money in their account. So these kind of salespeople or stockbrokers, they'll often also try to sell you an annuity. which I won't go into at this time because they're very complicated. We'll save that for a future episode. But most of the time, they will try to speak about how safe annuities are. There's no risk to them. And what you sometimes won't know is that they will charge you a 7 to 8% commission. So, you know, if you put in a lot of money, that could be a lot of money in their pocket. And that's why they're so interested in getting you into an annuity product, which is an insurance product, not an investment product. And so they'll try to get you in that so that they can collect a large annuity or a large commission into their pocket. And they have a lot of sales techniques to disguise that so it looks like you're getting a good deal. So those are the three main types of financial advisors that are out there. Now, there's a certification called the Certified Financial Planner, which is a certification to look for if you are hiring a financial advisor. You also want to ask the question about if you are a fiduciary or not, meaning you will legally be bound to put my best interest first in any situation. So let me talk a little bit about what financial advisors do. So the first thing they might do is help you create a portfolio and then manage your portfolio. So they might help you choose the investments that you would put in your portfolio, might help you choose mutual funds or index funds, how much to put in of large cap companies, how much of small cap, how much international, how much bonds. Do you want to add any commodities and whatnot? So they'll help you construct the portfolio that they think is right for you. Sometimes they, and then they will manage that portfolio for the assets under management typically. They can also provide legacy counseling, estate planning, financial management, cash flow systems. They can help you with withdrawal strategies in retirement. They also tend to help hold your hand during the down markets when you're wanting to sell. They'll coach you to stay in the market and not sell when the prices are low. And so they can also help people who have a lot of investments accounts, a complicated life, maybe a business, multiple accounts, making a lot of money. They just don't want to bother with it. Those are some advantages of maybe hiring a financial advisor. Or for people who just are not at all interested or want to be a part of this, they just want to turn it over to someone else. They don't want the stress or don't want to worry about it. Now, I personally do not have a financial advisor because I don't feel like I need one. I think with a small bit of education, if your life is simple like mine, you can manage your own investments very easily and very simply with very little effort and time and really not that much knowledge. I think by listening to this podcast, you would have enough knowledge to do this on your own. We've already had a couple of episodes talking about how to choose investments, to look at index funds instead of actively managed funds and whatnot. So I want to talk a little bit more about the financial advisor industry before we talk about if you should fire yours or hire one or what you would like to do. So every firm that's registered in the United States must file what is called a Form ADV Part 2 brochure with a Securities and Exchange Commission at least annually. This document's intent was to provide an easy way for customers to compare fees and services of different firms. However, these have quickly developed into complex forms where few investors have the patience and time to go through and read and study them. So I have looked at this ADV Part 2 to decide on kind of comparing different investment advisors and how much they charge. I want to talk about a few of the more popular names that most of you have heard out there just to give you a sense of how good or poor some of these are in my opinion. So a lot of people have heard of Edelman Financial Engines. They're a really popular financial firm that manages millions and millions of assets. So the typical fee of if you have $500,000 with them, which is their minimum that they will take, is you would pay 1.65% of assets under management. So with a maximum fee of 1.75%. So that's pretty high. Edward Jones is also an advisory service that is very common. It's very common to see Edward Jones offices all around the community. And so Edward Jones charges 1.5% 0.44% as their maximum fee. So again, anything over 1% in my mind is high. Plus, Edward Jones puts you into mutual funds that have those loads I was talking about and high expense ratios. They typically put you in actively managed mutual funds that are very expensive because it benefits them. Another firm that's quite popular, you see a lot of advertisements for, is Fisher Investments. Theirs is 1.25. You've probably heard of JP Morgan Chase Portfolio Management. They charge 2%. Merrill Lynch charges 1.8%. Morgan Stanley, 2%. Voya Financial Advisors, 2.5%. So people wonder, like, where do I go to hire a financial advisor if I want one? And a lot of people go to these places I just mentioned because they're popular. But what you don't understand is it's probably not in your best interest to hire any of those guys because of the high expenses they charge. And they're really, really expensive. So there are, if you're really needing a financial advisor, my advice would be to find someone who either you can hire by the hour and pay them an hourly fee to have them look at your plan to see if you're on the right track. Or if you want your assets managed 24/7, 365 days a year, finding an assets under management financial advisor who is a fiduciary and always has your best interest at heart would be what I would recommend. And look for them to charge 1% or less on your assets under management. So I talked a little bit about the loads is what they're called, that some advisors will charge on top of their mutual funds. So they have different loads, like a front load A share is where you pay a commission up front, and you also pay what's called a 12B1 fee that it basically pays for the company's advertising and brochures and mailers that they send out. A load C share is a small commission, typically up front, but they take a larger one if you exit the fund, and they pay the high, you would pay the higher 12B1 fees. What you're looking for in when you buy a mutual fund or an index fund is a no load fund, which pays where you pay no commission up front and no 12B1 fees. When you look up a mutual fund, you can see that on the page of what those fees are. So when you buy index funds from places like Fidelity or Schwab or Vanguard, you're going to get a great deal. There's not going to be a financial advisor who's taking his or her cut, and you're going to pay very low expense ratios on the mutual funds. For example, the Fidelity Total Market Index Fund, you pay 0.015%, almost free. The Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund, Admiral Shares, is 0.04%. Now, if you buy an American Funds mutual fund, which is often what different companies will sell you, such as Edward Jones, you would pay a 5.75% front load fee, and then you would pay an ongoing annual expense ratio of 0.65%. So you can tell that these actively managed funds are much higher. So for example, if you bought the Fidelity Total Market Index Fund and you had $10,000 invested, you would pay $1.50 per year. If you had the American Funds one with the 0.65%, you would pay $640 per year. So you can see, even though 0.01% compared to 0.65% seems like very little, it actually can really add up, especially over time when you consider compound interest and whatnot. So let's take an example. I'm going to give you an example of Don and Wilma. Let's say they each invest $500 a month from age 30 to 70. Let's say Don uses a financial advisor who charges 2% annual fee, which is a fairly common normal fee for them to charge. Let's say Wilma does not use a financial advisor and simply buys a total market index fund that costs 0.04%. So they invest from age 30 to 70. Don, at the end of that time, both starting out at zero at age 30, investing $500 a month until age 70, Don would have a nice sum of $1.6 million saved up. Wilma, who did not use a financial advisor, but rather paid the 0.04% expense ratio on the total market index fund, ends up with $2.7 million, over $1 million difference because of 2%. I want you to understand that paying a financial advisor or paying a high expense ratio on a mutual fund over the course of an investment lifetime can cost you $1 million in this example. And for someone who starts earlier than 30 and invests more than $500 a month, it will cost you even more than that. So if you have a financial advisor, you need to know that over the course of a lifetime, that financial advisor is going to cost you a lot of money. It might be worth it to you. They might be worth it. Like if you're the type of person who does not want to be bothered with it, you're worried that you'll sell your investments when the market goes down, then a financial advisor might save you a lot of money. But if you're a person who can learn the basics of investing, you can know what a total market index fund is, you can buy it consistently from every paycheck through your 401k or through a Roth IRA, and that you will not sell it when the market decreases and goes down, and when we have economic crises, you stay the course, you don't panic, you will be much, much better off to just invest your assets on your own. Now, if you have a complex financial situation and you need all those services I talked about earlier, then by all means, hire a financial advisor. If you're simply looking to manage investments or buy investments, most people can do that on their own. It's really not too complicated. It really isn't. People get intimidated by it and worried about it. But if you can just figure out how you want to invest, do you want to use an index fund? Okay, let's use a total market index fund. Do you want to expose some international stock to your portfolio? Okay, add in a total international index fund. As I get closer to retirement, I'll add more cash and bonds to a total market index fund. You can own those funds for basically nothing. And with Fidelity, they have free versions of all those funds, so you'd pay zero expenses over the years. So just imagine how much money you can actually save if you get a little bit of education, you consistently invest every month, and you don't feel the need to hire a financial advisor. It can be powerful to your bottom line and your wealth building life. Now, these are some ideas to think about. If you have a financial advisor, I'll go back to one of my friends I talked about on an earlier episode. She used to have a financial advisor. She has invested a lot of money. She's been a great saver. She showed me her portfolio with her investment advisor. He was clearly not a fiduciary. He had her in all kinds of expensive, actively managed funds that were clearly beneficial to him and not so much to my friend. So she read a few books. She read The Simple Path to Wealth. She talked to me a few times. She read some other books. She decided to fire her financial advisor nicely. He didn't like that, of course, but she did. And now she's managing her seven-figure portfolio, and she's doing it with confidence, and she's doing it with one or two simple index funds, and she's doing great. And that's really how it can work if you just have a little bit of education. So I want you to think about this. Consider if you need a financial advisor or not, if you have one, if you should maybe do it on your own and not have one and save yourself a lot of money. But that's just something to think about. That will be all for today's episode. I just want to thank everyone for being willing to listen to the podcast, take time out of your day to soak it in. I hope the education is helpful to you and you're learning some important things to live at peace with your finances and to live a simple life, a simple financial life. You can follow us on Instagram at simplemoney_simplelife. I would ask you to please leave a review, especially on the Apple Podcast app. If you wouldn't mind leaving a 5-star review, that would be super helpful to get the show out to more people who could benefit from it. And remember, the simple life is a good life.